In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. But today, we celebrate Forgiveness Sunday. And we begin, this is the day that just before we begin our holy and great Lent. And here we are, listening, hearing the Word of God for our salvation. And the Lord said in the Gospel, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And clearly our Savior thinks that this is a very, very important teaching. That is, that we know in ourselves that it's very difficult to forgive trespasses, to forgive offenses that are against us, to forgive unfairness as we perceive it. And so it is, this is the first thing that he points out. And as we approach our holy and great Lent, so then we need to look within ourselves. And to think, are there offenses that we have not forgiven? Or are there offenses that we feel others have worked against us that we feel offended by and that we hold on to? And I think our Savior is asking us to truly look deep within our hearts. And we all know, and I certainly know from experience, that we have our outward presentation, how we present ourselves outwardly. And that very often our outward presentation, we smile and we nod and we're polite and we're kind and so on. And yet, what we're asked to do is to look within, deep within. And it's difficult. I think it's often very difficult because we have pride. And pride is this powerful force within ourselves, which it blinds us. In our pride, we fail to see our own offenses. And yet, on the other hand, we often see others. It's so easy to see others' offenses. But how do we look within? And of course, our Savior gives us the path of humility, that we need humility. And then we say the words, and we live in a society where we are so gathered up in all of the things of the world, even things that we aren't particularly attracted to us, but it's in the airs, it's in the atmosphere, this gathering of us up into the things of the world. And it's difficult to come out of this state, this, you might even call it a kind of frenzy that we live in, and to really sit down and take a look at ourselves and ask, whom have we offended? And by whom do we feel that we have been offended? And brothers and sisters in Christ our God, this self-examination in the light of our Lord's commandment for forgiveness is a necessary first step, as it were, on the path of repentance. And to forgive is what does it mean to forgive? It means, I think, we have to recognize how we feel that we've been offended. And then we have to find a way to let go of those offenses. And once again, pride comes in. And so we have to pursue humility. And it's interesting how our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ often lays out the path of our life where circumstances arise that truly challenge us, and things that that are very difficult for us, and we wonder, how come? Why have these difficulties come upon me? And I think this is a moment. These are moments when we have to look into ourselves and ask God, why? And I think often when we ask the question, we're looking for an external answer. And do not be surprised. There are many who in their lives have had the experience that actually God allows temptations for our salvation. And that we are often the author of our temptations. We proceed on various directions and so on, and perhaps we intrude into certain relationships in our own self-will, in our own pride, and then difficulties arise. And what we realize is that God has allowed these temptations to bring us to humility. And this, of course, is extremely important. He goes on and says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to be fasting. Truly I say unto you, they have their reward." And so here, this is the pride. So here we are on the eve of our fast, as it were, the great and holy fast that leads us to Pascha and to the resurrection of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Savior knows. He knows us. He knows that it seems like everything that we do is tainted by pride. That we continuously try to exalt ourselves. And I speak from experience. I understand this from my own experience in my own struggles. How pride attacks everything. And you know, we might do something out of love and some good work, and yet all of a sudden our mind starts thinking, we did a very good work. We did a very nice thing. We did something that was right. We did something that's going to please God. And perhaps it will. But it's true also that our, as it were, patting ourselves on our back and these thoughts that come darken the grace that we would receive. It darkens our hearts and minds so that we cannot receive the grace. And the Savior goes on and says, "When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting." Our Savior knows us very, very well. And it's true. Here we are, we enter the fast and we're going to make a big struggle for it. And before we know it, we're going to be looking around. How are others doing? I'm doing quite well. So here we are. He says, "But to your father who is in secret, and your father who sees in secret shall reward you openly." And namely, that if we can fast and do those good things that God commands us to do, in humility and in simplicity, we will receive a reward. And thank God, it might not be and will not be the praise of others. And because we don't, you know, we really, the praise of others is not good for us at all. But rather, we will feel the love of God in our hearts. We will feel the grace and mercy of His forgiveness, even as we forgive, so then we feel the mercy and grace that He gives us. And the gospel goes on and says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, the last line, where your heart is of course central to this teaching. And the whole question is, where is our heart? I'm not speaking physically. Where is the attention of our heart? What do we attend to? And the Savior knows us completely and thoroughly. He knows our humanity, and he understands that we like praise. We love praise. We love to be recognized. We love people to smile at us and to be kind to us and so on. And which is good. I mean, in the sense that we should be kind to one another. But we tarnish the light, or tarnish the image of kindness by allowing it to puff us up and think that we are special. And here the whole question of treasures on earth. And this is difficult. Very difficult. And it's difficult because, one, of our own weakness, but also it's difficult because of the complexity of our society and where we live and how we live and what we have and what we do with what we have. And it's, in our times, I think it's very, very difficult. Always this passion existed, certainly it existed because our Savior is speaking about it in his own time. But In our times, it's almost as though there's this net that the warp and the woof and it captures us. It captures our attention. It stimulates our desires, and it's insidious in the way in which we, whether it's a special piece of clothing that makes us feel good. And we look and see someone else and see how they are peering upon us, or whether it's possessions that we may have or things that that we desire that are totally unnecessary. It's this treasuring things on earth. And I think what the Savior is saying to us is, look at how much time you spend and how much attention and energy you give to worldly things, to your countenance, to your appearance, to what you possess, how you live, what car you drive, and so on. It goes on and on and on. Think of how much time we spend on these things, and really how little time we spend on the things of God. And which is simple, very, very simple. The Holy Church has the rule of prayer. It's called morning prayer and evening prayer for lay people. And we have our obediences in attending the divine services. And we have our obediences really in spiritual reading and the things of God. And I will confess to you openly that I understand the challenge. I mean, do I say my morning prayers every day? Do I say my evening prayers every day? Do I do spiritual reading every day? And the answer is, well, I don't want to. No, I don't. I try, and I make efforts, and there are times when I do very well in my efforts, but in reality, I fail. And I think we all fail on these tasks. And what I can tell you from experience is that it's the simplicity of the rule of morning prayer is in a sense very deceiving, because it's just this little, you can read your morning prayers piously in 15 minutes, you can read them quickly in 10, and of course, how could that 10 minutes possibly affect my inner state of being? How could it change the course of my life? It's almost as though we're dismissive. This is necessary for having a good day and for having peace of mind and warmth of heart. And we disregard the obedience. And the reality is, as you grow in spiritual life and you know, it's like a sailor sailing, you know, on the, let's say it's just on lake sailing or sailing in the bays and harbors. You reach a point where you can feel and sense the wind that's coming. And when it comes to you, you can feel it picking you up and moving your little craft forward. And it's often very subtle. But the reality is, if we raise the sail, as it were, of our ship by reading and keeping the obedience of our morning and evening prayers, you will see in time, but you will see that in reality you have raised the sail, and you will feel the grace of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ like a gentle breeze guiding you. And why is it so hard to learn? Pride, self-will, worldliness, the worldliness that blinds ourselves to the truth of the Word of God and the obediences of the Church. And we are, we're enslaved to these things. And it's precisely for this reason that we receive this Holy Gospel, and it's precisely for this reason that the Holy Spirit guided the Church into the development of this wonderful and great Lent that we approach. It's the Holy Spirit, through the minds and hearts of the fathers of the Church, established this discipline in the hopes that we'll keep it. In the hopes that we'll keep it this time. And then the hopes that we will reach a state of humility, and that while it's most important to turn, it's very important to turn to our brothers and sisters in Christ to ask for forgiveness, it is absolutely essential to turn to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ on high and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my pride. Forgive me for my worldliness. Forgive me for my willfulness. Forgive me for my criticism of others. Forgive me for my wanton pursuit of material things and worldly things, which consume me. And when you look at things, we have to have a little sense of economy, which is balance. And if you look at all the things that consume us within and of the world, what is left over for our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ? And I understand our enslavement is not just internal; it's also external. I mean, many people work jobs that are just totally exhausting and very demanding, and end the day with really just in weakness and inability. So we have to find in this humility. One thing I discovered years ago when I was working on the building and working at least 12-hour days, I would come home in the late evening and I just couldn't say my prayers. I just couldn't say my prayers. And so somehow or other I was inspired to take a chair and put it in my prayer corner and just sit in the chair. Just sit there and look up a bit at the icons of our Savior, the Mother of God, and the saints, and just sit. And it was amazing that in literally 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes, I would get the strength to stand up and pick up my prayer book and say my prayers again. And to catch, as it were, the Spirit of God and the sail of our faith and of our obediences. May we enter into this great and holy Lent in the spirit of forgiveness and the spirit of love for one another. In the name of the Father, and the Son.